Now that brings us to the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, and we come here to one of the loveliest stories that you have in the Scripture. And this is a story that, very frankly, it reveals what a great man David really was. We always think of David in connection with that sin he committed, and probably that's a natural thing to do. For instance, suppose I had before me right now a great white sheet right before me. All of you that are listening can imagine that. Now, let me say that there is one little black spot on that screen. Some ink got on that. Now, as you look at the white screen, what is the most impressive thing about it? There is this vast area of white, but when you put a picture on the screen, that is, you put one little black spot, that stands out. Suppose that you ride down the highway, as I have done in West Texas, and you see probably a couple thousand sheep over in the field, and there's one that's black. Which sheep do you really see? Well, in the life of David, we always concentrate on the one big sin, and it was a big one. We'll deal with it when we get to it, but we give sparse attention to his noble life, to the exploits of this man. Someone has put it like this: there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it behooves most of us not to talk about the rest of us. Maybe we ought to be a little bit more careful about our viewpoint of David. Now, there's so many wonderful bright spots in the long life of David. From that young shepherd boy who slew a giant to an old man wise in experience and who could write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, here we're looking at one of those events. In chapter 9, we have the story of Mephibosheth. You remember I mentioned him once before? Now we've come to him. He was a grandson of Saul, but he was a son of Jonathan. And we're told here that David now befriends him. Now you must recall the background that Saul had been the pitiless foe and the bitter enemy of David. And at the death of Saul, David began to marshal his forces. And according to the Oriental custom of that day, it was the law of that day, a new king would naturally put to death all contenders to the throne of a former dynasty. Any claimant would be removed by execution. That would protect him, you see. Now, according to the code of that day, David would have been justified in putting to death any of the offspring of Saul. And believe me, David was not amiss or squeamish in doing such things, even among his followers. How about the story of Uriah the Hittite? Well, Jonathan, the son of Saul, died with his father in the same battle. But Jonathan had a son. He'd been hidden away lest David take him and kill him. And the name of this boy was Mephibosheth. And David could more firmly establish his throne by slaying Mephibosheth, removing the last vestige of danger. But Ziba, a servant of Saul, betrayed the hiding place of Mephibosheth, and David could have taken him and killed him. Now listen to the story. I begin reading at chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" He said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent, fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. Now you see, when Mephibosheth came before David, he fully expected to be executed. He was a dead dog, if you please. And David, when he was brought before him, Mephibosheth falls down on his face before David, and David speaks so kindly to him, just calls him by name. He says, Mephibosheth. And this boy says, Behold thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I'll surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I'll restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now, isn't that a lovely thing that he does? David puts him at ease, you see. And David shows him kindness. He restores his inheritance to him. And he gave him a place at the king's table. Now notice the reaction of Mephibosheth to all of this. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? And believe me, had there been another king on the throne, and had that king been his own father, and he had been the son of David, been a different story. He'd have been slain. You may be sure of that. This is something that is amazing. Why, Mephibosheth counts himself as a dead dog. But David doesn't call him that. David says, You're no dead dog. You're Mephibosheth. You're the son of Jonathan. And he says to him, I intend to show kindness to you. And now will you notice the reaction again of this man? He bowed himself. What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. That's quite a household to feed, you see. So this property and land of Saul's that was his inheritance was turned over to him, but it belongs to Mephibosheth. David sees that it belongs to him. Now, here is something that is quite interesting that I want you to note. Thou therefore and thy sons, and I'm reading verse 10, and thy servants shall till the land for him, shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Verse 11, Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. Now, I want you to notice this. This is such a lovely gesture on the part of David, and it's one of those acts of nobility which David performed. You remember in the case of Abigail, he did the same thing when her husband, actually his name means a fool, you can call him stupid, acted as he did. Why, it was at that time that David did a very noble thing in sparing this man who had done this thing to him. The fact of the matter is, it insulted him. Now, will you notice that not only is this a wonderful act, but there's some impressive lessons here for us. They're great spiritual truths, and I wouldn't want you to miss them today. First of all, child of God should recognize that he too is a cripple. You see, we're told their feet are swift to shed blood. That's the report from God's clinic of the human race. They've all gone out of the way. Our feet lead us astray. Each one, we're told, is turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then again, Proverbs says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, our feet get us in trouble. And it's quite interesting the way that the soul and the feet are closely connected in Scripture. And I do not mean to make a bad pun, but I'm not talking about the sole of your feet. The soul, S-O-U-L, and the feet are closely put together in Scripture. I'd like for you to notice that. Over in Psalm 56, verse 13, listen to this. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of thy living? And that's David who wrote that. And remember, he had a boy all of his life at his table who was lame in both of his feet. And then in Psalm 73, verse 2, he says here, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. David knew what it was to have lame feet also. And then in Psalm 116, verse 8, we read there, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So that you and I are actually cripples before God. But you know, today, modern philosophy and humanism presents another picture of man. I heard a liberal say Christ came to reveal the splendors of the human soul. Well, God says out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, and it's a mess of bad things. You can't expect any good from human nature. Paul could say, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And he says he had no confidence in the flesh. This is the way, God says, walk ye in it. But the law is condemnation. But the Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me, and when we come that way, he'll receive us. Now, there's something else that's amazing in this incident. David extended kindness to Mephibosheth for the sake of Jonathan. Not because of Mephibosheth, he didn't know him. It was for the sake of Jonathan that he loved. When he looked upon this boy, he didn't see a cripple, he saw Jonathan. He made a covenant with Jonathan. And the kindness and mercy and the grace that he extended was because of another. Now, you want to know what David thought of Jonathan? Well, he thought that he was a very wonderful person. Now, the Lord Jesus has saved you and me because of another, and that other is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told we're accepted in the Beloved. When he sees you and me in Christ, why, he accepts us and he saves us. Now, the interesting thing is this. David said nothing about the lame feet of Mephibosheth. There's no record that David ever mentioned it, made no allusion to it. He never said to him, it's too bad that you're a cripple. He treated him as a prince. And he sat at the table and his feet were covered with a linen cloth. You know, God forgets sins because they've been blotted out by the death of Christ. They've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way God can forgive you and me our sins, my friend. This is the way he put it in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And then here's something else I'd have you note here. Mephibosheth said nothing about his lame feet. You see, what do you think David and Mephibosheth talked about when they sat at the table? They talked about another. And you know who that was? It is about Jonathan. David loved Jonathan. Mephibosheth loved Jonathan. He was his father. They talked about him. What do you and I talk about? You know, some Christians take a keen delight in telling about the old days when they lived in sin. They also take keen delight in running some other Christian down. It's too bad when we get together we don't talk like David and Mephibosheth did about not Jonathan, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, others that were at the table, they didn't talk about his lame feet. There's a large company that ate at the table of a king, and one day they saw David bringing this little cripple, and the gossips did not say, "Did you hear how it happened?" They listened to the king. They heard him praise him. They had no time to indulge in cheap talk. Their hearts went out in love to this boy, Mephibosheth. You see, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and love never fails. These things, you see, have been written for our admonition. David was never able to make this boy walk as far as I can tell. If you see that, you cannot walk well-pleasing to God, turn to him, turn to the Lord Jesus. He said to the palsied man, "Let down through the roof, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, rise and walk." And God says that to you and me today. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you walk well-pleasing, that you walk worthy of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And Christ has sent out invitations today in the highways and byways, out in the streets of your town, and he's saying, "Come to my table of salvation, just as you are, a cripple, and I'll feed you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. And if any man hunger, if any man thirst, let him come unto him and drink." What a wonderful picture this is that we have here in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel.